The United Food and Commercial Workers Union in Southern California knew well in advance that last October's contract negotiations with the big grocery chains would be difficult. Ricky Caza is the president of UFCW Local 770, which represents 20,000 of the 70,000 Southern California grocery workers who were out on strike or locked out for 5 months last winter.
The industry, led by Mr. Bird, the president of Safeway, was going out preaching to the other companies that because of the threat of Walmart basically was setting the standards for the industry, and for them to survive, they had to have this relief in the area of specifically pension, health and welfare, and they wanted a new tier grocery clerk, and those were the efforts that they pushed, and they started about a year before the expiration of our contract having those discussions.
But Icaza says the chain stores could well afford to continue with the old contract and give an increase, and that store executives use the threat of competition from Walmart as an excuse to demand cuts from workers. The grocery chains involved are Safeway, which owns Vons and Pavilion stores, Kroger, which owns Ralph's, Cala, and Bell Markets, and Albertsons. The supermarket industry has been one of the service sectors in the United States in which many workers make living wages and benefits. A big portion of the grocery workers are women, young people, and single mothers. And they say the benefits that come with unionized grocery work are what have made these jobs desirable. After 5 months on picket lines, grocery workers accepted a concessionary contract and went back to work. Many critics point to missteps by the UFCW that led to what they consider a defeat, and hope for changes in upcoming grocery negotiations in Northern California and elsewhere. However, the president of the UFCW International, Doug Doherty, called it one of the most successful strikes in history. But take a close look at a grocery worker's chest and you might find a badge that reads, "I'm the property of Safeway."
Now that your pleasure's in the paper, be horrifically admired, you can have anyone that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is why.
Many Southern California grocery workers say they returned to a very undesirable environment when the strike ended in March. Management, they say, has restricted their conversation, cut and changed their schedules, is giving promotions that are really demotions, and cut their health benefits. They say former strikers have been laid off, transferred, and harassed. As a result, some grocery workers are questioning the commitment of their union. Lydia Bayoni has spent almost 30 years of her working life in unionized grocery stores. She once was a shop steward for UFCW Local 770. She also served as a picket captain in the recent strike at her Silver Lake Ralph store. Since returning to work, Bayoni says things are pathetic.
That laying off a lot of people from Vons, a lot of people got laid off, a lot of people got demoted, a lot of people got from full-time to part-time. But we find out that we are not allowed to say anything about the strike. One of the girls told me, "Do you see those three girls over there as a grocery clerks?" And I say, "Yes. Look at their faces." I look at them. They are scabs. There's nothing we can do or say, because if we say the word scab, you will get fired.
Bayoni says she used to be proud of her job, that it used to be a pleasure to go to work. Now she says she's just doing her time and looking forward to retirement.
Everybody lost respect in the union. They don't trust the union. And, of course, we don't trust the stores. Everybody's, like, actually looking for another job. That's how people feel about it. They feel like they sold us, and we feel like we don't supposed to be there anymore, because we lost a lot of benefits, so we're not even there for the benefits anymore. We didn't win anything, and so we lost a lot.
Workers took a big economic hit during the strike. Strike pay was about $240 a week in the beginning, and it was later reduced to about $100. To earn it, workers had to put in 30 to 40 hours on the picket line. Strikers faced eviction, loss of health care, and other hardships. After 5 months, the UFCW recommended strikers accept a contract proposal offered by management. 86% of the workers voted for that contract, not, they say, because it was a good contract, but because they were tired and broke. Lydia Bayoni says the 5 months on strike were an ordeal.
I have people that they were homeless. I have people that they were losing all their houses and their cars. So all they wanted to do is go back to work. They didn't care what they offered them. Everybody said that, we don't care what they offer us, we just want to go back to work.
The Harry Bridges Institute in San Pedro, California, provided food, services, Christmas toys, and other support to the grocery workers during and after the strike. Shannon Donato, the Institute's director, spoke with strikers every day. As they returned to work, Donato watched the people she had come to know suffer.
The contract was voted up at an 86% ratification, but we're also seeing almost on an hourly basis either a phone call from a rank and filer or them in the community labor center here telling us that they've been promoted, which really means a demotion into the two-tier. They've had their hours slashed. They are being transferred, and there's nothing that can be done about it as long as it's within a 25-mile radius. We've had shop stewards transfer three times within 24 hours of her going back to work. It's just been incredible. Bookkeepers predominantly who had over 20 years of service are now checking groceries at 11 p.m. at night in some of the most violent communities that there are in order to basically get even with them.
Donato says workers who seek the union's help with those problems are told that the union can't do anything. Their hands are tied by the contract. And many workers say they are working alongside people who undermine their strike.
They've told the scabs that if anybody says anything to you in a derisive way, even the word scab they consider a derisive term, that it's to be reported to them and they will deal with it. And that person will be harassed and intimidated. And so what you're seeing is people being very tight-lipped and they're edgy and they're not happy in there.
That's Craig Baggy. He is a middle manager at Ralph's in Manhattan Beach and a member of UFCW Local 1442. He worked on picket lines and helped organize rallies throughout the strike. He says at least a couple replacement workers are working in each store, with more in the bigger stores. Local 770 President Ricky Kaza.
Companies have taken a very draconian approach to the people that were very supportive in the strike. We're having grievances filed daily, and it's almost as if the war is still going on, but in a different legal form.
But some workers say the union is partly to blame. Ralph's worker, Cornelio Higuera.
I mean, I pay my wages, you know, every check they take out, and I expect them to stand up for us, for everybody, all my brothers and sisters that are out there, just like me, they're going through the same thing. And when we don't get no answers for questions, I mean, that's what we pay them for. That's why they're there. That's why they're the union. You know, it makes you a little angry and a little frustrated, but what can you do? They're going to have the final say on if they're going to stand up for you or not.
Craig Baggy says the problems have been a wake-up call for workers.
People that have been in the union for years, and they put their head down and stayed in their jobs, and they've relied on management and the unions to take care of them. I think a lot of them are saying now, you know, maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time that I take the bull by the horns, and if I want change, I can change it. You know, I've seen people become empowered. I've seen people become leaders that weren't leaders before.
Cynthia Hernandez is a young mother who works at Vons. Like many of the strikers, she had never been involved in political action before. She says she was charged by the experience.
It's just motivated me like you have no idea. This has motivated me to want to do more and more and more for the working people, which is me, you know, because they take us for granted so much that without us, they wouldn't have their millions of dollars.
Little fish are eaten by the big fish, swallowed up head and tail. Then the big fish are eaten by the bigger fish, till we're all in the belly of the whale.
The new contract significantly cuts wages and benefits, especially for new workers. Observers say being a union worker yields little to no tangible benefit under the new contract. Shannon Donato of the Harry Bridges Institute.
I have a daughter that's almost 18 years old, and I would have loved to seen her be able to go into a job like that with the wages and benefits that that job used to provide. But today, she works at a pizza joint, making $8 an hour and tips, which is more than she could earn if she started tomorrow at a box girl at the local grocery store under a union contract.
Aaron Dubay is a research economist who contributed to a study by the University of California Labor Center on the financial implications of the Southern California grocery workers' contract. He says under the two-tiered system, new workers will make up to $4 less per hour than workers hired under the old contract.
Just to give you an example, a very common category of worker in supermarkets are food clerks. And the wage for food clerks in Southern California ranged from $9.78 an hour to about $18.90 an hour. For new hires, that's going to be between $8.90 an hour to $15.10 an hour. The entire range of wages for food clerks is going to be lower. And this is the same story we find in other categories of work. And so the bottom line is, depending on how quickly, how much turnover increases from historical standards, the average wage would fall by between 18% and 28% by the end of the contract period in 2007, which is a pretty substantial drop.
Dubay says this means a drop from an average annual income of $22,000 to between $17,000 and $19,000, depending on how quickly new hires replace long-time workers. The outlook for benefits is just as bad.
For new hires, there's substantially longer waiting periods. To qualify for individual coverage, one has to wait now, instead of 3 months, wait a year. Similarly, for family coverage, they have to wait even longer, I believe 30 months.
That's 2.5 years that new workers must wait before their families are eligible for health care. Under the old contract, nearly 100% of the workers were covered by the grocer's health plan. The study found that by 2007, up to half of the workers may not be covered. The union did prevent the grocers from making some changes. For example, even though new and old workers will now pay health premiums, workers will pay much less than the companies originally demanded. However, the cost of health care is skyrocketing, and the grocers' contributions to the health care fund have been cut in the new contract. Aaron Dubay.
This is going to be an issue not only for new hires, but also for old workers, because you have a single pool. So you cannot really maintain affordable benefits for old-timers if the money coming in for new hires is literally a quarter, or perhaps even less, of what the company would have been paying.
And while the union maintained long-time workers' wage levels, the new contract creates divisions between new and old workers. Ricky Kaza says probably the most insidious aspect of this contract is the introduction of the two-tiered wage and benefit system. Since new workers cost the grocery stores so much less per hour, old employees are seeing their hours cut. Again, Local 1442 member Craig Baggy.
It's a split system. It separates people doing the same class work. And there's going to be people that are envious of our job, and there's people that are not going to like us, and we're not going to like them. It's going to split us apart. It's going to split management apart, because we have to manage those people, and we're in the union. And to watch other people that we've been working with, to watch their jobs be taken away, to watch them lose their jobs to people with lesser skills, and the only difference, the reason why they're making more money, is because they're paid less.
Ray Rogers is the director of Corporate Campaign, Inc., a firm that helps unions strategize. He says multi-tier systems have been commonplace in union contracts since the 1980s.
When you get multi-tiers or two-tiers, you bring a cancer into the workplace, because you've got groups of workers working side by side doing the same jobs, one getting a lot more in wages and benefits than the others. It feeds into the whole union-busting apparatus of the corporations to begin to create multi-tier systems. And it creates a lot of dissension, you know, amongst brothers and sisters who are working together.
Bernie Hesse is the head of organizing for UFCW Local 789 in St. Paul, Minnesota. 2 decades ago, his local signed a contract that brought multiple tiers into the workplace.
And we have a good contract in St. Paul, but we've never been able to bounce back. I mean, you still have this animosity between your full-time clerks and your part-time clerks.
Many workers say they didn't learn about one important change until after they returned to work. Craig Baggy.
One thing that we were told was the people that were already in the store would have been grandfathered into the old contract, and that's not true. Once the strike was over, they became a part of the two-tier system. They are part of the new system, and I think if a lot of people knew that, the vote would have been a lot closer.
Under the new contract, old workers enter the new lower wage tier if they're promoted. They say that turns promotions into demotions. Under the old contract, Cornelio Aguero worked a minimum of 30 hours a week between two positions. One position paid $17.90 an hour, and the other paid $7.50 an hour. After returning from 141 days on strike, he accepted a promotion to the seafood department. His pay went from $300 to barely $150 a week. Cornelio Higuera.
I figured I was going to be making more money. I didn't think about the new contract, the two-tier. I thought it was just for new hires. And then once I got involved in the seafood department, he told me that I found the two-tier.
Regarding Higuera's case, UFCW local president Ricky Caza says,
it's shocking that he would accept that, because he's not required to accept a promotion, allegedly a promotion.
Under the contract, workers lost some of what they had and gained nothing new. As new workers are hired, the face of unionized grocery work is likely to change. Ricky Caza.
You really had a great career, middle class career, and with the new tier system that they've developed, they just eliminated that, essentially. We were the last bastion of good jobs in the inner city prior to this agreement, and I believe with the fact that we've got these new tier system, it's just the opposite, and we're going to have to work to improve that.
Hey, boyfriend, can't you hear me when I'm...
The grocery workers' strike was the biggest action in the labor movement in almost a decade. Not since the Teamsters' 1996 UPS strike had so many workers been out on the picket line. Ray Rogers of Corporate Campaign, Inc.
In the grocery battle, you had, I understand, 70,000 workers on strike and locked out. That kind of number of workers that are idled full-time is a force that is probably big enough with the proper support and direction and strategy that not only should they be able to win a strike, they ought to be able to probably organize a revolution.
It was the first time the Southern California UFCW found itself in a serious battle with the grocers. Union officials say they were caught off guard by the grocery chain's unusually hard line. Yet many strikers believe the UFCW could have been much better prepared. They say the UFCW knew well in advance that the grocers in Southern California planned to make serious cuts in worker pay and benefits. Safeway CEO Steve Bird was quoted in the November 18, 2002 issue of Supermarket News calling for a total restructuring of wages and benefits. His comments were posted on the official UFCW website. The company's plan, it reads, is to narrow the gap in every single negotiation without exception. Bernie Hesse from a UFCW local in Minnesota says the leadership should have organized a nationwide union campaign.
This is something they should have set up 2 years ago when Safeway started sending out tapes, VHS tapes, to their workers saying, here's the market or the economy you're in, and we're paying X amount over an hour than other competitors are, and we need to survive.
But when asked how the union prepared for the contract expiration, officials focus on the union's efforts to fight non-union Walmart, not preparations for a big strike. Ricky Caza.
We actually increased our dues to develop this market share program, and we were well-funded, and we were going forward, and we were making these success stories happen. Then along comes this strike, and we started with our membership well in advance, a year in advance, with steward meetings and an overall meeting to have a dues increase to be able to fund our activities. We were prepared for the inevitable, but I don't think anybody could have prepared for the concept that we would have been out for 4.5 months.
Workers, strike supporters, and UFCW officials agree that the fight should have been a national one. Without a wider strategy, they say, the workers' determination was no match for the international resources the store brought into the fight. Yet the campaign was mostly isolated to Southern California, even though UFCW workers in Missouri, West Virginia, Ohio, and Arizona struggled over the same issues with the same employers around the same time. And critics say the UFCW International and the AFL-CIO got involved in the strike too late. Craig Baggy.
As far as focusing on a national agenda, there was a lot of talk and everything, but I never saw any organizing to do a national boycott, any organizing to do anything of that sort on a national level. And you're dealing with a national company. My feeling is it has to be done that way. We brought AFL-CIO in at the very end, and the influence they could have put on Safeway nationwide, that could have made a big difference. The bottom line is that's what they understand. They understand their bottom line. Their shareholders understand the bottom line. And if they're bleeding nationally versus regionally, they're not going to sit there and take it. I mean, as it was basically a regional strike, and they lost $2.5 billion total between the three of them.
For their part, union officials say the international was involved from the beginning, but the necessity of employing a coherent national strategy only became obvious in hindsight. Ron Lind is a spokesperson for the Bay Area Coalition, a group of eight Bay Area locals preparing for their upcoming contract expiration.
The companies never thought our members could hold out that long, and we never thought the companies would take those losses for that long. And that's where we learned that these companies are no longer regional. They are national. It's no accident that they picked our biggest bargaining unit, the biggest area of the country, to take us on. It's not the same old company that we used to deal with.
The strike cost the grocers over $2 billion, but company officials didn't see it as a total loss. CEO Steve Bird called the loss in revenue an investment in our future. Stanley Aronowitz is a professor at the Graduate Center of City University in New York and the author of over 20 books on class, labor, politics, and culture. Aronowitz followed the Southern California strike closely.
The result was, I think, seriously determined by the failure of the United Food and Commercial Workers to broaden this conflict, not only to the rest of the retail grocery workers who are members of unions around the country, but also to the labor movement as a whole. I think every strike now, with some exceptions, of course, is a national strike. And if it doesn't broaden to a national strike, the likelihood, given the present political environment, not only the legal as well as the ideological environment, is that unions will lose. And that relative certainty that the company by company or region by region struggle is fated to lose is to a large extent, I think, not penetrated the official circles of the labor movement.
One thing that makes it difficult for all UFCW workers around the country to take action together is what is called a no-strike clause. A no-strike clause keeps workers from striking during the life of the contract. UFCW locals nationwide have separate contract expiration dates. That means workers in the same union, working in the same industry, for the same employers, cannot legally strike together. Stanley Aronowitz.
I think the problem is that unions should not sign no-strike agreements. And I think if they do sign no-strike agreements, but they face extenuating circumstances, as they did in the Southern California retail grocer strike, I think that they ought to be willing to go to jail. They ought to be willing to take heavy fines. They ought to be willing to rally the rest of the labor movement to oppose these heavy fines and these jail sentences. I think they ought to act like outlaws for a change. And if they are not willing to act like outlaws, because they really are outlaws, with very fancy offices and very fancy salaries, they're still outlaws. If they're not willing to act like outlaws, they're going to lose. And I think they're prepared to lose rather than risk their resources, their comfort, their institutions, their organizations.
Before the strike, the union didn't communicate with the workers, says Lydia Bioni. She stepped down from her position as shop steward.
Lack of communication is the number one thing that's why it's falling everything apart.
Bioni took on the role of a picket line captain. Her picket crew endured financial hardship, winter rains, and threats from replacement workers. The union leadership decided to pull pickets from Ralph's stores a month into the strike in order to give consumers a shopping option.
The union person comes to me, he says, I have something to tell you. It's a secret, and you know what? You have to... It was in the night. And then he says, you have a meeting to go because something is going to happen tomorrow. And I said, what is going to happen? And he didn't want to tell me. So we went to the meeting, and then they told us that we have to remove all the people from Ralph's and put it in some place. They told us a place. We didn't choose. So tomorrow, 12 o'clock, nobody's supposed to be in Ralph's anymore. So I said, well, what does that mean? We're not going to pick in the store? No. So the next day, the union person came. It was another person who came. And then he says, you have to remove your people. Everybody has to leave. And I said, why we have to leave? And I refused to leave. So he says, if you don't move, the police is going to come and put you all in jail. It was not a nice thing for us. We were all tired, mad, upset. So I said, I'm not going to move, and my people is behind me. So he asked everybody to move, and they said, no, we are behind her. So they brought the lawyer from the union. They brought all these people from the union. And they start to explain to us that, you know, they make a contract with the store that if we don't move, they're going to put us in jail. So they even had our checks in the other store.
Bayoni says the union did nothing in response. For their part, union officials confirmed there were daily reports of all kinds of violence on the picket lines, but they say they dispatched people to respond to many of the complaints. They say they even provided counseling to workers later on in the strike. When it became clear that Ralph's had agreed to share its profits with Safeway and Albertsons to soften the impact of the strike, the union returned pickets to some Ralph's stores. That was in mid-January. The strike and lockout ended just over a month later. Critics also say inconsistent pickets at the distribution centers let too many goods onto the store shelves during the strike. They say the UFCW didn't put up pickets at the distribution centers until over a month into the strike, when the stores were already stocked for Thanksgiving, and then the pickets lasted for only a few weeks. Ricky Kaza says the union waited for the go-ahead from the Teamsters, the drivers who transport goods from the distribution centers to the stores. Ikaza says pickets were removed when the Teamsters' strike funds ran out. Critics say this highlights the lack of coordination between two unions that have such a direct impact on one another. But Bay Area Coalition spokesperson Ron Lind says keeping supplies off the shelves isn't as important as keeping customers from entering the stores.
In a retail strike, a successful retail strike, it doesn't matter how much merchandise gets in the store if the companies can't sell it. Our goal is to keep the customers out.
Workers also complain the union didn't provide them with sufficient information when it came to voting on the contract. They say they did not see the full contract and weren't given adequate time to consider it before voting. Lydia Bayoni.
But they never wanted to show us the contract, the full contract, not only 2 pages. It's like they told us today, tomorrow you're voting, that's it. So we didn't even have the chance to see what was going on or what we would have to say. They said, tomorrow morning you're voting. So we didn't have no time to even think anything or say or see anything because we didn't get the contract until the next day when we got to vote. They gave us the 2 pages just to read it. That's all we did.
The new contract was nearly 30 pages long, but many workers say they received a document a fraction of that size that only summarized the details. The union told them that it was the best contract they were going to get and suggested they vote yes. For their part, union officials from Local 770 say workers were given both the contract and a summary of the changes from the old contract. Andy Kaza says that even if workers didn't know about every change in it, he's certain they would have agreed to the contract anyway.
Shillings, tell you right now, you better watch and think about yourself. Be careful how you vote, y'all.
Many workers and strike supporters say the problems with the union are systemic. Ray Rogers of Corporate Campaign, Inc. has watched the UFCW over the years and isn't surprised by the results of the grocery strike.
When you get into a big fight with these very powerful grocery store chains, you've got to also have a union at the national level that is really willing to fight, that's committed to a real tough strategy, that's committed to really fighting concessions. And that cannot be business unionism. That has to be a union that is really committed to struggle. And unfortunately, at the national level, perhaps it may be different at the locals, but the national level, this particular union has a long history of not being willing to fight the tough fight. The leadership of this union during a grocery strike is well known for their efforts on behalf of corporations, giving in to one concession after another. So they're in a situation where they weren't even prepared to give any real direction to a meaningful strategy or a meaningful fight.
Doug Doherty was president of the UFCW International during the Southern California strike. He resigned 2 days after the agreement. The secretary-treasurer of the union, Joe Hansen, replaced him. Ray Rogers first encountered Doherty and Hansen back in the 80s, when a UFCW meatpacking local at Hormel Foods Corporation in Austin, Minnesota, hired him as a consultant. The UFCW International recommended the members of the local go on strike, and they did, for 9 months. Eventually, the International put the local into trusteeship and negotiated a concessionary contract. The president of the Austin local at the time of the strike was Jim Guyette.
Well, I think an effective, strong democratic union is the antithesis of what the UFCW represents. First of all, I think you need democracy. In a lot of unions, UFCW is probably the worst. Talks about union democracy, but really doesn't understand union democracy at all. What they do is they come in with a program that's a last-minute, put-together kind of a strategy, and they expect people to buy into it and go out on strike. And their philosophy is, look, let them strike for a while until they get tired, and then they'll crawl back to work and take whatever contract that's in front of them.
Dougherty and Hansen played key roles on behalf of the International during that strike. According to Jim Guyette, Joe Hansen negotiated a two-tier contract and didn't negotiate to get the strikers' jobs back. Again, Jim Guyette.
If workers are considering a fight-back strategy, they're going to have to understand that they're not only dealing with the company or corporation, they're dealing with their own union, because their own union many times doesn't have the same interests in mind that the membership has. I think you have to look at the UFCW in the context of what's best for them, understanding that their method of operation has been retrenchment and negotiating away full-time jobs for part-time jobs.
After 18 years at the plant, Guyette found himself out of work. Observers say the meatpacking industry has never recovered from the concessions made in the 80s, and it remains one of the most dangerous jobs in the United States. Hansen and Dougherty did not respond to requests for comment. A spokesperson said they maintain that without the International's intervention, the workers at the Hormel plant would not enjoy the middle-class lives they do today.
Everybody's working for the man again. Everybody's working for the man. Everybody's working for the man again. Everybody's working for the man.
Northern California grocery workers will see their contract expire on September 11th, and the Sacramento local is currently in negotiations. The stakes are high, not only for grocery workers, but for Californians in general. The Labor Center study projected what the public costs would be if Northern California grocery workers get a contract like the one in Southern California. Researcher Aaron Dubay.
So we found that these kind of benefit and health standards would imply an additional $66 to $100 million annually in public health costs by the end of the contract period in 2007, and most of that falling on what's called uncompensated care, people showing up in county facilities without having health care insurance and passing on that expenditure to those facilities and to taxpayers. Almost half would fall on state and federally funded programs like Medi-Cal and Healthy Families. All in all, a pretty substantial increase in publicly funded safety net health programs because of the changes in benefit and health standards in the contract for grocery store workers.
Ron Lind, spokesperson for the Bay Area Coalition, says Northern California is doing some things now that Southern California didn't implement until 8 weeks into the strike.
Just the other day, we announced our boycott pledge card campaign. We had a press conference and a big rally in downtown San Jose. And so we're going to be talking to customers in front of stores, as well as at churches and community events, at county fairs, even door-to-door, asking those folks to sign a card that says, if asked in the future, I will boycott stores that try to take benefits away from their workers. So we're also working to mobilize our members around that. We're trying to increase contract enforcement in the stores. Trying to make these companies understand we're not just going to sit and wait for them to make a lousy offer and then have to fight from the outside. We're going to fight and get ready while we're still inside.
Lynn says there's potential for simultaneous disputes in Sacramento, Fresno, Denver, Las Vegas, Hawaii, and the Bay Area, because the locals have similar contract expiration dates. They're not necessarily coordinating, but they pledge to support each other's actions.
The main point we learned is that if we just try to take them on in one isolated area, even a big isolated area, it's not going to work. And that's why we're trying to link up with other states and other contracts.
According to Lind, most of the grocery settlements since Southern California are less drastic.
We're hearing that the companies realizing, or the companies may be realizing, that maybe they overreached in Southern California because they're having a really hard time getting people to come and work under those new rates of pay and under the new benefit structure. The turnover is just tremendous. And, you know, so maybe they're figuring that, well, maybe we need to do things a little bit differently.
Lynn says even though unions are in a concessionary period, Bay Area locals intend to propose wage increases and improvements in contract conditions. He believes the UFCW has learned that more militant behavior is needed in order to save the union.
The union saying that if we don't do things differently, then we're going to be a union that represents a lot of low-wage workers that don't have benefits, and that doesn't make for a very strong union.
Isai Alday has done grocery work for 7 years and is the shop steward at Albertsons in San Francisco. He says workers won't accept a two-tier system, major cuts in health care, nor the use of non-union vendors to stock shelves. Isai Alday.
If they're coming at us with the same kind of attacks and on us as they did on Southern Cal, then we'll have a boycott. If they're reasonable, we'll be reasonable. We've always been reasonable. We've always made concessions. And there's a point where you can't concede anything unless you're going to concede, you know, your livelihood altogether. And we're kind of at that crossroads. So if they're reasonable, we'll be reasonable. If they're not, well, then we'll just be asking the community to support us and not shop there.
Both Lind and Alday say organizing is going better than expected. The volunteer shop steward program has expanded. There's a new youth committee and a new contract security unit, which trains workers to enforce the contract themselves. Alday says the new programs are having an effect.
You know, I've seen members go from worried about being active surrounding, you know, maybe the manager's going to mess with their scheduling and that sort of thing, and being scared to speak up to, you know, walking straight up to the manager and tell them exactly what they think. And if the manager disagrees with them, they end up quoting the contract, which is a big step. It's a huge step for them. And instead of having to go a long, tedious route, you know, they end up developing a communication rapport due to it and getting the problem solved and going up as groups and intervening when they see someone being mistreated inside the store.
Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We got a lot of work to do.
Isai Alday lights up when he mentions that unlike Southern California, Bay Area workers are going to be at the negotiating table. He says that alone could make a big difference. In Berkeley, I'm Natasha Moss.
Well, pick up your feet. We got a deadline to meet. I'm gonna see you make it on time. Now, don't relax. I want elbows and backs. I want to see everybody from behind. 'Cause you're working for the man. Working for the man. Gotta make him ahead. When you're working for the man. Well, I'm a picking him up and I'm a laying him down. Believe he's gonna work me under the ground. I pull to the left, he to the right. They're both gonna be all mine. Yeah, I'm gonna.